Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And our Friday show, the preview of the Big Ten Championship game, is brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is time to stock up for the weekend. It is time to stock up for the Big Ten Championship game. And it's time to stock up for the holidays. And you can do that at Brewers Outlet, one-stop shopping. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Did I happen to mention beer? What a selection of beer that they have there. Wine coolers, soda, water, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Store's really well laid out. Plenty of help to get the cases to the car. Plenty of free parking. And the pickle bar is second to none. The barrels and the dill's my favorite. Wouldn't mind having a couple of those in the broadcast booth tomorrow night before the game. That'd be a nice touch. Yes, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tis the holiday season. You know what would cap off the holiday season in real style? New vehicle. Yeah. One place to go for that, Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I am proudly in the Sunbury Motors studio. Coming up on the show today, we'll preview the Big Ten Championship game. Heather Dinich of ESPN is going to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll talk with her about the College Football Playoff Committee and what they're thinking and what they're not thinking heading into a big weekend. Tonight there will be a game. It's the Pac-12 Championship game between Washington and Colorado. That'll be at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. Then, of course, tomorrow you have the SEC title game at the Georgia Dome between Alabama and Florida. Alabama can even lose that game and still be in. You have the ACC championship game, which is opposite Penn State and Wisconsin. That will be Virginia Tech and Clemson. Also, tomorrow's the American championship game between Navy and Temple. And coming up tomorrow in the Big 12, Oklahoma will take on Oklahoma State in the annual Bedlam game. So there is plenty going on. And, of course, the big one is the Big Ten Championship game. Penn State and Wisconsin at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. Tomorrow night's kickoff is set for 8 o'clock. That means we'll be on the air on the Penn State Sports Network and on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show beginning at 6:30. Coming up, we'll take a look at the College Football Playoff Committee. Heather Dinich of ESPN has done a great job of covering them. We'll talk with her in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Welcome back on this Friday. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for Penn State football, your home for the Big Ten Championship game tomorrow night at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis as Penn State takes on Wisconsin. 8 o'clock will be the kickoff. We're on with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show beginning at 6:30. Stock up for the weekend right now. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports domestic. Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, snacks. The pickle bar is second to none. Everyone knows I love the dills. I love the barrels. Never forget being out at Penn's Tavern when this entire journey began back in August. And we're out at beautiful Penn's Tavern right there on the banks of the river. What a great day that was. And then Corey topped it off and brought over some pickles from the pickle bar. And I Chris Wheeler and I remembered it. Chris Wheeler and I appreciated it very much. And I think that got the season off to the right start. That set the tone. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There's a lot of football to be played out here over the next 36 hours. Tonight, it's the Pac-12 championship game at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara. It's Colorado against Washington. Washington currently sitting 4th in the college football playoff poll. Then tomorrow, it's going to be the American title game between Navy and Temple. Also tomorrow, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the annual Bedlam game. Florida will take on Alabama in the SEC championship game. I think Alabama can lose and still be in. I don't think that their standing in the college football playoff changes at all with tomorrow's game. Clemson is 3rd. They will take on Virginia Tech. That game is opposite the Penn State game. And, of course, the game you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and the Penn State Sports Network, the Nittany Lions and Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. Heather Dinich used to write for the Center Daily Times. She used to cover Penn State football and then moved on to ESPN, where she's done a great job. Mostly covered the ACC for years. Now her job covering the college football playoff and the college football playoff committee. Heather, first of all, welcome. It is great to hear you on the other end again. And when you talk to the college football playoff committee and you try to get a gauge from them, what do they consider to be important?
They're still trying to figure that out, but I'll tell you what, strength of schedule is immensely important to them, as evidenced by Ohio State sitting there at number 2. And Washington and Michigan, Kirby Hookut, the selection committee chair, has said repeatedly that Washington's strength of schedule is an issue and remains an issue for the selection committee, which is one of the reasons why I don't think they're a lock for that number 4 spot, even if they do win the Pac-12 title.
Interesting. When you see how this has played out, I want to get to the Penn State component for a moment. Okay, Penn State was not on the radar in among the 15 to start with. I'm talking in August or in the dark horse category. What has it taken for everybody to get up to speed on Penn State, including national reporters who would not be covering the beat on a regular basis?
Well, here's the thing. Penn State has won, what, 8 straight games now?
Yeah.
They have a win, a head-to-head win, over the number 2 team in the country in Ohio State. If you're actually watching Penn State, Trace McSorley is playing one of the best positions at quarterback of anybody out there. He's playing phenomenal. And this is a different team than the one that lost 49-10 at Michigan, because defensively, the Nittany Lions were banged up a lot. But here's the thing. There remains a gap, and one of the reasons there remains a gap is because they lost at Pitt. Good thing for the Nittany Lions is that Pitt's now ranked. But the resumes are not comparable now, Kirby Hookut says. The question is, will that gap close, and will they be comparable if Penn State wins the Big Ten championship? And I think it's much more accurate to say at that time they've got a much better shot to jump in, because then they will have had 2 wins over top 10 teams. Right now they just have 1.
And for Michigan, they have 3 at the moment, and that has to be obviously a significant factor based on where they are at 5, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's strength of schedule, like I said, is so important to them. But Michigan is so sneaky because it has that head-to-head win, obviously, over Penn State. If Colorado beats Washington, it has a win over the Pac-12 champ. If Wisconsin wins, it has a win over the Big Ten champ. And to me, that's a great chance to see Ohio State and Michigan in the top 4.
Okay, conference championship and the value of that. The argument can be made that the top 2 divisions have been the SEC West and the Big Ten East. Now, obviously, Alabama won the SEC West. Penn State won the Big Ten East. Now a conference championship. Where do you think that falls in the pecking order for the committee, in your opinion, based on what you've heard?
That is the biggest question that they have to answer this year. I can't answer that because it's subjective, and you have to literally ask each one of the 12 committee members, because they've never been faced with this before. They've never had to deal with an 11-1 Ohio State team that didn't win its division. And in the past 2 years, I've been talking about Notre Dame as this X factor. And Notre Dame never materialized. And, you know, it was like, gosh, I wish they had that independent to see what they do with it. And this is where we find out how much those conference championships matter to them. But if you look at the past 2 years, they were huge, and people forget this. Ohio State was never in the top four in 2014 until it went out there and absolutely pummeled Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. And last year, that Big Ten title game knocked Iowa out and boosted Michigan State in. So I think people forget the impact that it can have on the selection committee on the day that it matters most, which is why I think it's going to be really hard for the committee to leave Penn State out if they go out and they hammer Wisconsin, just like Ohio State did 2 years ago. I don't know why there isn't more credence given to the fact that Ohio State and Penn State can both be in at Washington's expense.
Here's the next part. How important is it for people to understand that each time the college football playoff poll comes out, it's just the weekly snapshot? It's not an anticipation of what they expect.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we're 3 years into this system, and a lot of people still don't understand it. It's to this point. It's what they see right now. The final piece of the puzzle has not been put in yet. That's the conference championship games. And each week it changes. That's why if you listen closely to Kirby Hokut each week, he says, for now or now.
Right, yeah.
It's a snapshot. This all can change. And if you look at the top 10 right now, top eight, two of those teams are naturally going to lose because they're playing. So, the whole thing can change. And don't forget, TCU dropped from number three to number six in 2014. Nothing is set in stone.
Right, exactly. Heather, you've done a lot of great coverage over the years of the ACC, so I want to bring up Clemson for a moment. Clemson last year had a dominant year and then lost in the title game to Alabama. Every team takes on its own personality. Clemson's been winning, but not like they did last year. What do you see and what don't you see in Clemson?
You know, I think they're a little bit deceiving because some of their numbers are actually quite comparable to last year.
Okay.
But I see Clemson getting up for the big games, and I think that they learned from that loss to Pitt. That was like a wake-up call, 43-42 loss to Pitt. But look at what they did against rival South Carolina. But having covered the ACC before the playoff for about 6 years, I know anything can happen in that ACC championship game. I don't care what the odds are or what the numbers say. Virginia Tech's going to come to play, and it could happen. Clemson can lose. But Deshaun Watson, he's not the quarterback that he was last year. He can be. He certainly can be. But I think Lamar Jackson overall has been probably the best quarterback in the country. But it's been an interesting year. They kind of remind me of 2014 Florida State, which was undefeated but wasn't the best team in the country.
Heather, final question, then I'll let you go on this. You've done a lot of great reporting on this, and you know people get emotional about it. How interesting has it been when you're just reporting something and people think you're stating your opinion, but you're only reporting it? How tough has that been to convince people you're just doing exactly what you're supposed to do?
It's an interesting position. It really is. And sometimes I do have to give my opinion on it. So the line is certainly blurred at times. But my opinion comes from talking to a committee member, talking to commissioners. I interviewed all four committee members that cycled off of the committee last year. So it's not like the opinions that I do have come out of thin air. They're based on the reporting that I do and just studying the committee and its protocol for the past 2.5 years. So, you know, I just keep plugging away, and people can think what they want to think and are certainly entitled to disagree, but I'm just going to keep doing my job the best I can.
Exactly, as you've been doing. It's called informed opinion.
Right.
Heather, absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, and I know everybody here in State College misses you.
Thanks, likewise, and please get a grilled sticky for me. It's been way too long.
Heather Dinich from ESPN. Heather, great to have you with us. Thanks so much for carving out some time for us today. It's done a great job. But again, strength of schedule does mean something. And this does go back to what I was talking about before. And I've talked about many, many times on the show. You need to schedule that second game of the season now. I think that's a very important game to schedule along the way. Because when you only have three non-conference games, and that's where the Big Ten is right now, three non-conference games, One, you want to get yourself into the season. The other one, you want to make a transition into your conference. It's that second one where you can play that home and away. I think you need to select that one carefully. And I felt, for example, that what Penn State did back during the summer when they announced that a home and away with Auburn was going to take place in 21 and 22, I thought that's the kind of scheduling move that you do need to make in today's college football playoff era. That's the kind of RPI game at the front that makes a big difference for you. And I thought that was a great scheduling move. And as Heather pointed out, strength of schedule does mean a lot to this particular playoff committee. We'll see how it plays out. Washington sitting there at 4. As I mentioned to her, it seems in trying to read their tea leaves that Michigan seemed to be closer to 4 and Washington than Penn State was to Michigan from 7-5. But we'll get a look. Let's just see the full body of work. And as you know, I've quoted my father many, many times on this. I'll do it one more time. Don't worry about things you can't control. Well, guess what? Penn State cannot control what the playoff committee is going to do. But what they can control is tomorrow night's game. I don't usually make that many observations from practice. Every once in a while, I'll tell you, hey, look, they really practiced great. They look great. Well, they did. They look great. They look sharp this week. But there's one other observation I want to share from you from practice. And I shared this with James Franklin last night when we were taping the pregame show. It's part of the pregame show. And I said, something I was looking for when I went to practice this week was one thing in particular. Were they just happy to be there? And I've been around teams where they were just happy to be there and you could tell. Or were they all business and they were all mentally set to go, okay, we're going for it and we're all business about this. You know what this football team was this week? All business. Chris Godwin did tell me last night how excited he was to play in this game and he couldn't wait to get there because he wants to get there and he wants to win it. That's the attitude I saw all week from this football team. Not happy to be there, all business, looking to win it. That's a difference maker. We'll find out beginning at 8 o'clock tomorrow night about that. Today's show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up in the next half hour, Rich Scarsella of the Reading Eagle. We'll talk to him in a few moments as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Saving money on your next vehicle is as easy as SMC. Sunbury Motor Company. Since 1915, SMC provides total commitment to complete customer satisfaction. Sunbury Motors sells and services new Fords, Lincolns, and Hyundais in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And new Kias on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf. No one beats Sunbury Motor Company's lowest price promise. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. SMC, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to today's show brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for the weekend of the Big Ten Championship game. Stock up for the holidays. Or gift cards. You have to start thinking about what can I get special people in my life? How about a gift card from our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury? What else? Well, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is second to none. Corey set the tone this year out at Penn's Tavern when he brought the pickles out. I thought that was great. The food was awesome, too. Penn's Tavern's food's great. But that's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In just a few moments, Rich Scarsella of the Reading Eagle as Penn State gets ready to take on Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship game, which will be tomorrow night. at 8 o'clock, airtime on your home for Penn State football, News Radio 1070 WKOK, will be 6:30. This day in sports history, in 1963, the Major League Rules Committee banned the use of oversized catcher's mitts. The rule went into effect in 1965. Dan Marino, during his record-setting season with the Miami Dolphins, threw his 40th touchdown pass of the season. He ended up with 48. 1987, the Grabowski Shuffle video by Mike Ditka and the Grabowskis was certified gold and platinum by the RIAA. In 1988, ESPN aired its 10,000th SportsCenter, making it the most televised cable program in history. 1996, Clyde Drexler of the Houston Rockets became the fourth NBA player to reach 2,000 career steals. And in 1997, Latrell Sprewell's $32 million contract was terminated by the Golden State Warriors. The termination came one day after Sprewell assaulted and choked head coach PJ Carlissimo. And that is this day in sports history. The Nittany Lions take on Wisconsin tomorrow night, Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. A guy that has covered Penn State football now for more than three decades with great perspective, always with an even keel, and he's been a great friend to this show, the outstanding columnist and writer for the Reading Eagle, Rich Scarcello. Rich, welcome. It is great to have you back.
Good afternoon, Mr. Jones.
All right, you've watched this play out. You've covered a lot of stories over the years, Rich. What is this story and where does it rank for you?
Well, I wrote this morning in my column that it is without question one of the most surprising seasons in the last 50 years of Penn State football. And that's, I'm not going to go back before Joe.
Sure.
I was only seven at the time, so I'm not going to go back that far. But I will say, I think it is without question one of the most surprising seasons. And also, I'm trying to think of a team that has improved this dramatically from beginning of the season to the end of November, and I'm having trouble coming up with one. The only one that I can see close in recent memory is the 2005 team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that, I think of that. Penn State had a team in 1980 that was coming off some, and that was considered a really important season for Penn State.
Yeah, my senior year. Yeah, that's true.
That set up, I thought, I always felt 80 set up 81, 82.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they won what? How many at the end of the year? I'm trying to think. I know they finished 10-2.
And they won a series of them right in a row, and then they beat Ohio State, what, 31-19 in the Fiesta Bowl that year?
Yeah, with Arch Leister. Yep.
And, I mean, I kind of felt that set the whole thing up because Penn State, everybody's wondering where was Penn State going after an 8-4 season in 79.
Yeah, that might be it, Steve. The 80-05 might only be since 66. Are the only 2 years that I can think of that has made this dramatic an improvement from day one till late November.
All right, Rich, what are the factors that allowed them to improve? Was it just a matter of maturity and confidence, or are there other factors?
Well, I think you have to start with coaching.
Yes.
They never panicked. And, you know, whether it was James Franklin, Brent Pry, or Joe Moorhead, they stayed the course. They didn't deviate. They didn't try to do things that wasn't in their MO, or it wasn't in their DNA, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
I give them a lot of credit for that. And the players never wavered in their faith. I think this is a very unified team. I get that sense. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not at practices. But you talk to these guys and is it a product of success or did it cause the success? It's the age old argument. But I think it's a very unified team. They never gave up. They persevered after falling to 2-2, after having all those injuries at linebacker, after losing by 39 points at Michigan. You can go down the list. They never stopped believing that they could turn this season around, and they did.
When you watch McSorley,
Mm-hmm.
What do you see?
I hate to bring up a Bullwinkle reference, but I see a fearless leader.
This goes back to our era, Rich, and me.
Yeah, you know, but he is. He is a fearless leader. He has an uncanny knack of making big plays when this team needs them. And I couldn't be more impressed with Trace McSorley than I have been this entire season.
How much attention have you paid to how Penn State's played out nationally? And if so, what has been your opinion of how it's played out nationally?
I don't think people realize how good this team is. I think they look at the 49-10 score against Michigan and just, I don't want to say they, I don't mean a lot of people, I don't want to say everybody, but they dismiss Penn State because of that score.
Sure.
And it's the same thing, you know, it's a different team. It's a different team today on November 28th than it was on September 22nd. And so is Michigan. They're both different. Now, I'm not saying if Penn State and Michigan played tomorrow, that Penn State would necessarily win.
Right.
But I can guarantee you it wouldn't be by Michigan wouldn't win by 39 points. It would be a lot closer. And so I think that's being dismissed. I think there's a lot of things being dismissed. I think their 41-14 win over Iowa is just kind of like, oh, okay, forgotten. The following week, Iowa beat Michigan. I think the way they dismantled Michigan State Saturday, 1 week after Michigan State pushed Ohio State to the limit, I think that's being forgotten. Now, I think Penn State still has work to do, and I think James Franklin did say that yesterday, and I'm going to guess in about an hour or so the players that are available on a Big Ten call are going to say the same thing. But if they win the Big Ten championship, and let's say Ohio State and Michigan get in the Final Four, I think you're going to see an 18 playoff a lot sooner than we expected.
All right. It's a great matchup, obviously, with Wisconsin coming up. There's no question. This is, mm-hmm. I think this is a great example of a 50-50 game.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of read have you had on Wisconsin? Because obviously, now I've seen them play a lot only for this reason, Rich, because when Penn State played Iowa, I watched the Iowa-Wisconsin tape. When I watched the Ohio State-Wisconsin tape when Penn State played Ohio State. So I've actually seen Wisconsin several times, and I'm in the process of watching Minnesota now. What kind of read do you have on them?
I think they're an outstanding defensive team.
Yes.
As good as anybody. I think they're, you know, they're I don't even know where to be. I think it's their entire defense. When you lead the nation in interceptions with 21, when you're in the top 10 in scoring and total defense, you have experience. You know, they did a great job defensively against Michigan, lost 14-7. You know, did a decent job against Ohio State, lost in overtime. You know, I think they're really, really good on defense. They have a powerful running game, which you would expect from a Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the statistics of the two quarterbacks, Hornibrook and Houston, are not great, but they seem to make plays when they need them. You know, Corey Clement is a terrific running back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's going to be a very close game. I'll be surprised if it's not.
Yeah. One thing that I know Jack Hamm and I have talked about on the broadcast, and we brought it up in the post game on Saturday, when you watch Wisconsin's defense, it's Jack's opinion, and I agree with him, is that they never seem like they're out of position. I mean, they always seem like they're in the right spot that a defense is supposed to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen a little bit of them. I saw the end of the Ohio State game.
Right.
I listened to two of their games driving up to State College for late games. I listened to the Iowa game, but that was the Iowa feed with Gary and Ed.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of got a feel for things. But I know one thing. They shut down Iowa. I mean, Iowa had a work for every yard they got that day.
Yes, they did.
You know, I can't say whether they're in position or not. I haven't seen them enough. Obviously, you and Jack have, but I just know. I just look at the numbers, and the numbers are extremely impressive.
Really impressive. And the X factor for them on offense is a guy named by the name of Jazz Peavy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they try to get the ball to him 5 to 10 times a game in one form or another. So he's number 11, just as a preview for everybody else. Rich, this is really the first time the Penn State fans have had to try to understand the College Football Playoff Committee with a personal stake in it. So what is your read on how they go about their business?
How the committee does?
Yes.
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, you have 12 different people in that room, and I really don't know if you hear different things. Heather Dinich, who works for ESPN, who obviously worked at the Center Daily Times, she was one of our interns many moons ago. You know, she says that a conference championship carries weight among the committee. That doesn't mean she thinks that. That's what she says.
Right.
She also said, from which I guess what Kirby Hokut said last week, that there's a big gap between Ohio State and Penn State. I just don't know, Steve. I mean, I think Penn State obviously needs to win the game.
Yes.
And I think that's first and foremost. And then I think they're going to need help from either Colorado beating Washington in the Pac-12 title game or Virginia Tech to shock the world and knock off Clemson in the ACC title game. And I don't even know if that'll get them in.
Right.
You know, I don't know. But if it doesn't, it shouldn't be a disappointment for Penn State. If they win the Big Ten championship game and go to the Rose Bowl, wow. That's a heck of a season.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that sentiment. One thing that's interested me in watching this play out is that I felt like every week the answers have made the Final Four sound like it's a moving target every week. In other words, there's always something else that they come up with
that
you can't get a hard and fast gauge really on what they're thinking.
No. And I wouldn't look at tomorrow's poll or their rankings, tomorrow night's rankings, as like, oh, look at that. You know, wait till it's over. I remember watching the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till it's all said and done and they examine everything. But it's interesting that everybody talks about eyeball tests. Well, if that happened in the NFL, the New York Giants wouldn't have been in the playoffs the 2 years they won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, you got to, you know, what you accomplish on the field should matter. And I think that's being overlooked right now, at least among the talking heads on TV.
Right. One thing that is interesting, and I know people have talked about Bell and Cabinda coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that Penn State has not lost a single game where Bell and Cabinda both started.
Well, that's an interesting stat. I would not have known that, Steve. That's excellent.
Well, remember, Cabinda went out after the first game. They both started Kent State and then didn't start again together until Ohio State.
Okay. Oh, you're talking about just this season. I thought you meant throughout.
No, I'm talking about this season.
Okay.
So they
haven't
lost a game this season where the two of them have started together.
Right.
What do you think has been the domino effect of their presence that has allowed others to, you know, in their own right, really good, but allowed others to thrive?
Oh, there's a lot of reasons. I mean, you know, we could talk about the defense and Brent Pry, and I think Brent Pry has done a wonderful job after the three linemen go to the NFL. You figured the defense was going to have a drop-off, and, you know, they struggled early, and they have come on strong. They rank 20th in total defense and 30th in points allowed. That's pretty impressive. But I think going back to the field, I think the depth on the defensive line has been a big, big plus. Playing 10 guys, and I think Sean Spencer should get some credit here too for that. But Bell and Cabinda's presence, that experience, that knowledge of things, they're able to make late adjustments, pre-snap adjustments. They're able to put guys in the right position, whether it's the guys in front of them or sometimes even the guys behind them. And I think that has been a major, major difference in this Penn State defense.
when will you get out there? I guess the two coaches have a press conference on Friday afternoon there. So, I mean, how have you been able to cobble this together on short notice?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's worth a story. I mean, over the last 2 weeks, I get a call, you know, a week and a half ago from somebody on the beat, I won't say who, and says, what are you doing for the Big Ten Championship game? I said, I haven't even thought about it yet. And this is, you know, like I'm thinking, well, at least that's when I started looking at airfares.
Right.
And that's been a process. Fortunately, the powers that be at the Reading Eagle gave me permission to buy an airplane ticket last Monday, and I'm flying out of Allentown at the beautiful time of 5:55 a.m. on Friday.
Fabulous. That's great.
But that's okay, and there's a few of us on that flight, and that's okay. Get in, and go through Atlanta, and then back up to Indy, and we get in around 10:40 a.m. on Friday, and then Sunday could be interesting too. It's something, you know, they're announcing the Final Four at noon on Sunday.
Yes.
And I think people, I mean, we didn't know that until we started looking at this. So I'm not leaving Indy until, I think, almost 6 o'clock Sunday night.
Wow. Interesting times.
It is. It's interesting. It's fun. I mean, it really, it's, you know, as I get older, I get a little more tired as late in the season. But it is fun. It really is.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a lot of go, 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 but it's one of those fun go, go, goes.
So. Yeah. And this team is, it's just seemingly, the success has come out of nowhere. I mean, they wouldn't say that, obviously, but as an observer, never saw this coming. And, you know, it really has been something to see.
Absolute pleasure, Rich. Thanks so much. I look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis.
Thanks, Steve. See you on the weekend.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. Always great to have Rich on the show. Next half hour, the perspective of the play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football, Matt LePay, Jack Hamm, in the final half hours. We get you ready for the Big Ten Championship game tomorrow night in Indianapolis. And again, that will be an 8 o'clock kick with a 6:30 airtime for the Dietz and Watson tailgate show on your home for Penn State football, News Radio 1070, WKOK. It's also a big weekend at Penn State in a lot of ways. I mean, they have ice hockey tonight with Michigan. There's women's volleyball opening two rounds of the NCAA tournament tonight and tomorrow in Rec Hall for the right to go to the Sweet 16. Basketball tomorrow, the Lady Lions have Marshall at 1. The Nittany Lions have Wright State at 5, looking for their fourth straight win. And then Sunday is the Penn State duel in the Jordan Center with Lehigh. It is the BJC duel with Lehigh in the Jordan Center. I want to point something out about that. First of all, it's at high noon on Sunday. It is not sold out. So if you've wanted to see Penn State wrestle, if you wanted to see Penn State wrestle in the BJC and the great show they put on the BJC, okay, call the ticket office now. Because you can get tickets to see it. It is not sold out. So I want to make sure that all of you who have always wanted to see Penn State wrestle and all of you who wanted to see Penn State wrestle in the Jordan Center, here's your opportunity because it's not sold out. Tickets are available, and you can see it on Sunday at high noon against Lehigh. I want to make sure everybody knew that going into the weekend. Don't assume that sellout. You can go see it, and hopefully you will be able to see it. Coming up in the next half hour, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Wisconsin football, Matt LePay, will join us to give us his perspective as we come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.